This is Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m.
You're on Reality Check Radio. It's Real Talk with Rodney Hyde. You recall that we met the Mum of the Year earlier this year, Judy Martin Hendry. You are the Mum of the Year, Judy.
Oh, I don't feel it sometimes.
But we had Red Remembrance Day, and you spoke, and it went up on Facebook, and I knew none of this. You were a midwife before COVID hit.
Yeah, nurse before that, and then a midwife. Yeah.
We're going to discuss all of that and your experience. Tell me, you started out nursing.
Yeah.
And what made you decide to do midwifery?
I always wanted to be a midwife, but left school early, like a lot of people.
Yes.
And did a pre-degree in nursing to get into the midwifery school. And I was encouraged to do nursing first, which
okay.
did, and I no regrets. I loved my nursing. I spent 11 years in psychiatry, and then then a year in postnatal, because by then the kids had left home. I thought, okay, let's go and do my midwifery. So I spent nearly a year in the postnatal ward as a nurse, and then went and did my midwifery.
How long's a midwifery course for a nurse of your experience?
It was still the same, but 3 years. But
wow.
I got quite a few papers credited, so it wasn't full time for 3 years. Mm. I was still able to work part time.
So it's quite a big deal, becoming a midwife. It's not something you just say, "Oh, I'm a nurse and I can be a midwife."
Oh no, that's a big deal. Yeah.
When did you become a midwife?
2010.
And as a midwife employed, how's a midwife employed typically? By a hospital or?
Oh, no, she's got a choice when she comes out. She could be a lead maternity carer, which we refer to as LMCs. So
yes.
They're the ones that take on women from pregnancy to birth through to 6 weeks postnatal. Or you
yes.
can work as a hospital midwife. They're called core midwives.
Okay. And what were you?
I was an LMC.
Good on you. Mm. So it would be quite wonderful because you'd meet an excited mum-to-be.
Oh, it was the best job in the world. And I worked rural, yeah.
And where were you based?
Between Whangamata and Tauranga. So I covered a very large area. I used to just do Waihi, Katikati, and where I lived. But then the Whangamata midwife retired and asked me if I would, you know, take on more Whangamata women.
And you'd get late night calls and have to travel in a hurry some distance.
Yes. Especially the home births.
Home births are all okay in your view?
Oh, magical. Yeah, they're the best.
Really?
Yeah. My best birth was a home birth twins in the water. Yeah. It was magical, yeah.
Gosh, I tell you, I was so different back then because I was never game with my wife for a home birth. I said something could go wrong. You know how you're brought up on that and need, and then you learn more about the health system and you think, you know, you sort of sucked, you sucked along.
That's the fear that, you know.
Could I be a midwife?
Yep.
Isn't that funny?
There's a couple of men that are
really?
Midwives in New Zealand, yeah.
Interesting. Mm. So you're trekking along. You literally have your job of your dreams, any person's dream, because the birth of a baby and the preparation of the birth for the baby and the arrival of a baby the most magical moments.
Absolutely.
In a person's life.
Yep.
And oftentimes at the time, particularly for men like me, you don't see it, but you look back on it as this magical time, you know, because you think, oh, everyone has a baby, you know, big deal. But it's because when they grow up, all you can think about them is being in mum's tummy. and the birth, and then having them home those first precious wee weeks, these precious wee bearings, and then you look at them and they're grown women or grown men. And so you had the job of your dreams, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So what happened?
I did my research that I was taught how to do. They taught me how to do research.
They should never let you near a computer.
No, yeah. So I didn't listen to the one source of truth. So, yeah.
Oh, we shouldn't have done it, should we? So you did your research and you thought, I'm not taking that jab.
Well, I initially thought, to be honest, at least the health professionals will be, you know, first ones to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told, do your research, Judy.
So you said, I'm not taking the jab to yourself.
Yeah, and I wouldn't let my husband. Yeah, and he was mandated too. Yeah.
Oh, gee, so two incomes. So how did that play out?
Well, I'm just glad we both worked so hard, prior and bought some properties and we sold them all. And
how did it work? How did they sack you? How was that done?
Got a letter or email that we had till the 15th of November to get vaccinated, or the 30th actually, of October. It was initially about the 15th of October, and then they gave us a reprieve of a month, and then we were told by the 15th of November, if you weren't vaccinated, you couldn't practice. And we got emails also from, here for me was the Bethlehem Birth Centre and Tauranga Hospital saying our access agreements. Because when you're an LMC, you have to get an access agreement to your local hospital. I lost the plot a bit when I first read Bethlehem's because it was a primary birthing centre and I was a safe midwife. And the first line was, here at Bethlehem Birthing Centre, we take the safety and well-being I lost it after that.
I know that feeling.
Yeah. I'm never stepping foot in there again.
I had one of those.
Yeah.
However, there are women in various stages of their pregnancy under your care. And I imagine the health system being what it is, they just couldn't magic up a midwife to replace you, could you? Could they?
No. I was the only one in Whangamata. And because where I practice, even 3 years prior to that, there were six midwives that worked in the area. After I was mandated, it left three. So I couldn't even hand over to my colleagues because they were already full, the ones that were staying on. So the majority of my women were handed over to Tauranga Hospital, took out their option of birthing at home or Waihi Birthing Centre or Bethlehem, because they didn't have a midwife.
And there'd be a whole range of emotions there because some of the mothers would have been on board with the single source of truth.
Yeah.
Some would be saying, well, I don't care, I want you. It doesn't matter. The decision's been made higher up the chain.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking for you.
Oh, it was.
And for the mums.
Mm-hmm.
And the little
babies. I still
babies.
Get requests now from people to be a midwife, to be their midwife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's still hard.
And then you went back, and this is where it gets peculiar, because...
I didn't go back as an LMC. I answered an email that was sent out to, because there was such a dire need not just the LMCs, but the hospital as well. I can't say what hospital, because it wasn't a local one.
Mm-hmm.
They were absolutely desperate. So I answered the email and said, why don't you just give the mandated midwives back?
Yes.
And I got a phone call saying, would you be interested? And I said, well, I'm not getting the vaccination. No, no, we can sort all that. And I said, no, don't wear a mask. Not only did I get asthma, but the mask just, I knew the mask didn't work.
Yeah.
So she said, no, no, we'll get around that.
Wow.
So they were that desperate, they paid for my practicing certificate and my indemnity insurance, which is a lot of money.
Yes.
And I did some contracting, locuming work at this hospital. Hmm.
And that's where you said it's a tricky virus.
Yeah.
And was it nice to be back working?
It was different because I'd never worked as a core midwife before.
Mm.
So I was more into the natural ways of birthing and,
and
not used to sick women.
And now we come to, you're no longer a midwife. You'll no longer be on contract.
No.
And that was your decision.
Yes, I've got some medical issues that's, I've got to stay away from stress.
What happened that was the last straw?
So I'd been doing, 7 to 10 days a month at this hospital. The amount of sick women, but to be fair, I'd never worked in a hospital before, but I'd ask if this was normal and they'd go no. A lot of PPHs, which is a postpartum hemorrhage after a baby's been born, where they were ending up in an ICU. That's how much blood loss. Yeah. And, you had the head midwife when you're handing over saying, why are we getting so many more bleeds now? Because my eyes would roll again. These people are just not joining dots. I did make it my mission to find out if these women had the vaccination. And yes, they did. The placental abruptions, which is your placenta coming away before the baby's born. It's just, and the stillborns. I don't know if, because like I said, I hadn't worked in a hospital before, but there's such a large number of stillborns. And that last week after I wouldn't go back, I had a stillborn the night before this incident of a 24-weeker and grieved with the mum because it's hard. Even though you've only just met this woman, it's really hard to go through something like that and not feel it. And
at 24 weeks.
Well, they're survivable. So
and the baby's born.
Yeah.
And but the baby doesn't survive.
Yeah, the baby has died before. That's a stillborn. The baby has died before birth. And, so this poor woman, it was hard. But then the next night when I came on, I'd have to go back to the beginning of COVID because that's when Jacinda brought in the change of law that anyone could terminate at any stage in their pregnancy.
They did that almost under cover of COVID.
Everyone was too busy panicking about COVID, so most people missed it. Midwives didn't because we were all informed,
I didn't know about it. I don't follow news or politics or parliament particularly closely. And then I was told that ACT supported it, and I didn't believe it. And I went and checked, and I read the Hansard, which is the politicians debating it. I was pretty upset by it because, as I understand, the change was decriminalised abortion up to the mother to 20 weeks. And after that, you can still have an abortion, as I understand it. Correct me if I go wrong, Judy, if you ask the doctor, and the doctor, I think, gets a second opinion or something.
I think that's how it goes.
Something like that. Really, but you can abort a baby at any stage in the womb. But they said that doesn't happen.
In my career, you know, a woman would come to me, she's pregnant, she's upset. My job as a midwife was still to do her blood, send her for a scan, and give her information on where to go to talk about it, and if she wanted to go through with a termination, and told her she had to do it under 13 weeks. Under 13 weeks.
13 weeks, okay.
So when women have a 20-week scan, that's to check that the baby has formed correctly and all that. So in my 11 to 12-year career, I had three women who had medical terminations. Their babies were not compatible with life. And that was hard for these women to know that their babies weren't going to survive, if they were going to survive to 40 weeks anyway before they birthed, or when the babies, you know, were born, how, you know, they weren't going to survive. Terrible. And these poor women had to make that decision. So, you know, so I supported women through that, and it was hard because these women wanted their babies, but there was something really seriously wrong.
And rather than continue,
they
would decide, have an abortion.
Yeah. And so there was a place that they could go for that, specialized midwives who dealt with that.
Okay.
So this law was changed. So the next night I went to work and I looked on the board and saw social termination at 24 weeks. So it was the same amount of weeks as the one the night before. And I just said, I'm not doing that.
What does it mean, social termination? I don't.
Social, that we've chosen to terminate. There's no.
So the baby's fine.
Yeah. Because I still had the night before's experience where this woman would have loved to have had to carry on with her pregnancy. And yeah. So, I mean, it was very emotional. So I just said, I'm not doing that. And I was told, well, if I was the only midwife on, which was quite a lot of the time because they were so short-staffed, I'd have to do it. And I said, well, I'm not the only midwife on. So
I understand from, and of course this is the rarefied atmosphere of Parliament, I'm going to go back and check, but I understood from Parliament, they said no one has to do it if it's against your conscience. But of course in the hurly-burly of a hospital, that's not necessarily practicable because you can refuse and then the person has no care.
Mm. Yeah. And so it's still a birth. You've got to remember, it's still a birth. Things can still go wrong in a birth.
Yes.
So you can't have it in a medical ward because there's no midwives. So from the safety perspective, the midwife still has to provide the care. If something's going wrong, yes, you call the doctor. And, you know, if something's going wrong, say with the baby's heartbeat and that, you're ringing emergency bells to call the doctor. It's not like that when it's a termination. You don't even listen for the baby's heart. So, yeah.
So you said you're not keen.
Yeah. No, I just said I wasn't doing it.
Okay.
I was still emotional from the night before.
Yes.
Yeah. So I was in the break room having my break, and I did know this woman was close. And her bell
was. How do you mean close? She's
close to delivery, just by what the midwife had said.
Because they had given her medication.
So, yeah, so the medication, you turn off the pregnancy hormones, and most babies are born still, so they're not breathing.
So they give them them a drug.
A drug to turn off the pregnancy hormones, and most of the time that's enough that the baby doesn't survive.
And then the mother
Mother's got to go through labour.
Oh, jeepers.
And birth. So it's, yeah, it is still, you know, a birth. Yeah.
Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah.
So I was in, so I'd ignored this bell because I knew which room and I wasn't responsible for that room. And then one of the RNs came running in and said she was delivering and they couldn't find the midwife that was looking after her. So I had to go in and deliver this little baby that was born alive. And it took 2 hours for that baby to die. I think there should be, because they have a special department that used to do the medical terminations and have midwives that are not so emotional as me. And yes, it is a choice for women. But I think it should be a choice for the people who have got to go through this with them as well. Now, to get my practicing certificate, I had to do the legislation change of the abortion law. And I was just reading it, ticking, I'd read it. A lot of people I knew of just didn't even do that. They just ticked it. And you had to complete that to get your practicing certificate that year. Yeah. So
the baby's,
when I read something, especially when it's legislation, it doesn't stick in there because it's boring. Yeah.
The baby's born.
Yeah.
It's delivered.
Yeah.
And it's breathing.
Yeah.
And then the practices, because this baby's not wanted by the mum.
I'm not allowed to do anything to try and save it.
What did you do with that baby?
Sorry?
What did you do with the baby when
Mum,
it was born?
Mum wanted the baby. Baby was held by Mum, which was nice for the baby. And then the midwife that was supposed to be looking after her came back, so I left the room and just cried.
Of course, a 24-week-old baby born is a baby, right? It's not a clump of cells.
It's still a beautiful baby.
And how does it die?
Just stopped breathing. I wasn't there when it died. I wasn't in the room. It took 2 hours.
No one can feel good about any of that.
No. It's not midwifery.
It's not midwifery.
No.
How does that must harden hearts. You're the midwife that does that. Your heart must harden.
Well, because I probably took it harder because it was the same amount of weeks as the baby of the night before that Mum would have done anything to keep her baby. To have a live baby the night before. And then I had another one the next night where Mum didn't want the baby. And it was born alive, whereas the night before was born dead. I think that played a huge part for me.
And that could be a 30-week baby, a 36-week-old baby, a 40-week-old baby.
It could.
And at 24 weeks, it's survivable, right?
Yeah. The cutoff is 23 plus 5. is that where you try and save a baby. Otherwise, it's, you know, the chances are not good.
23 weeks plus 5 days. Yeah. 5 days or 5 weeks?
5 days. Yeah.
I feel sorry for the poor mum.
I did eventually. Like I said, I was still emotional from the night before. You know, she had decisions, you know, that was probably a hard decision for her.
Yes.
But another 16 weeks, she'd still have to go through the birth, but she could give her baby to parents who wanted a baby.
Mm.
Called adoption.
Do you think that birthing of an aborted baby is common?
I don't know, because I don't work in the hospital. No. But that was, it was only a few weeks, and then I just couldn't do it anymore.
It's a funny thing in the law, because I know in the, it was, the reason what you said so sparked my interest, it's the wrong word, horror, was this was an argument in the United States. And it was whether aborted babies where it didn't succeed should be left to die or not. And the law had been that you had to save them. And then it got changed or something. And because there's this peculiar thing where a doctor and midwife or nurse would be busy trying to kill the baby and then busy trying to keep it alive because it had been born alive. But the thought of a baby born alive and left to die is wrong.
Yeah, a lot of us believe so, but because of the law change.
God was saying, right?
Yeah.
That baby's got a kick in it. That will stay with you forever.
Yeah.
I think it'll stay with me forever, and I didn't see it.
Yeah. I just don't think many people know about this law change. Yeah. Because when I mentioned it before, they can't do that. They've done it. Yeah.
I wonder what they do with the baby. Do they have a funeral?
This one did, yeah. I can't talk about any others because I don't know of any
How
others.
Peculiar is that? Because then they have a funeral. Do you need a name?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
And mum made the decision that the baby wasn't to live. And was supported in that by doctors.
Yeah. Well, it's just like the COVID thing. You know, you have the jab or you don't get a job. You don't get your practicing certificate. It was the same with the doctors and the midwives. You have to complete the understanding of the legislation of the law change surrounding abortion, or you don't get your practicing certificate. So it's, what's going to be next? You know, in 2022, you had to have the vaccination to get your practicing certificate. In 2023, you had to complete that legislation surrounding the abortion change.
Oh, I think we know what's coming next.
Mm.
You get dementia. And they will euthanize you.
Mm.
Because we're no longer life affirming. It's sort of like, I have to admit, I supported euthanasia because I had a friend die a terrible death of Huntington's disease. But I became a Christian and I saw the health system and I lost my trust in it, and now I would never support it, because life is the most precious thing on the planet. And we can't be killing people ever.
Well, it's starting at birth now, before birth.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's the concept of the baby being born and living outside the womb and then dying that makes it so horrific.
Yeah.
But of course, it's the same practical effect to kill the baby in the womb at 24 weeks and have it born dead.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the mother had made her mind up. She didn't want the baby. I can't believe she wanted to see it. I just don't know. I just can't comprehend that whole scenario. And to hold her, you couldn't hold a hen while it dies. You know what I mean? I can't imagine holding a baby while it died and waiting.
Mm.
You were lucky to get out of that room.
Yep, I was. Yep. I was very lucky that there was another midwife on that night.
You talk to people about this?
Because I worked in mental health for all those years, I thought I could handle this myself. But I'm going to start some counselling. Actually, this week. Mm.
Unsupported by the hospital, I bet. God, I feel as though I need counselling just hearing you describe it. If you know what I mean, you can't believe that this is New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Judy, it's amazing to hear your testimony. And it's a very, very distressing and disturbing about what our great country has become. Because we can't hide from this. We can't, as a society, just turn the other way and not know this is what's going on. And what you've done here this morning is tell us this is the practical consequence of the MPs that you've voted into office. Note their names.
Mm.
Because just like going off to war, they're not the ones in the room comforting a young mum while her baby dies.
No, they're not.
I guarantee you, if they had to be in that room, that law wouldn't have passed.
I look at it this way. If they're mean enough and I'm just trying to think of a word to change that law, I don't think it would bother them.
Jesus.
But if you likened it to the war, if you put the leaders in a paddock and give them all a rifle and go, you go for it, there wouldn't be any wars.
No.
Yeah. Because it's all these politicians starting it. There was no discussion not that I'm aware of, with midwives and doctors about this change of law on what it would do. Yeah.
The midwife council can't make up its mind what a woman is.
No. and their job, and this is what surprises me of what Midwifery Council is doing, it was my understanding that their role is to protect the public from midwives that are not doing their job.
Mm, that's all.
Yeah. So why
no,
are they,
no politics.
Why are they changing?
No, I agree. And now you know that there'll be a plumber. I always pick on plumbers. There'll be a plumber registration board. And if a plumber makes an off-colour joke on Facebook, they'll lose their plumbing licence.
Mm.
I mean, that's what it's come to.
Yeah.
Judy, I'm pleased you're getting counselling. And you're in my prayers.
Thank you.
And you'll be in the prayers of many of our listeners. And those that don't pray, you'll be in their thoughts. And there'll be nothing but love for you. And we appreciate you sharing with us what is happening, because it's up to us to fix this.
I hope we can. You know, took me a couple of hours to decide whether to come on about this.
I bet.
But I appreciate RCR for what they did for me and Brad earlier. That maybe more people do need to know about this.
They do.
Yeah, you know, I go to, you know, rallies. You know, people call us anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists and all that, but I was never an anti-vaxxer. I'm proud to say that now.
I can see you that listeners can't, and I just think you're the most beautiful mother and human being. And if I was a lady having a baby, I'd want you as my midwife.
Oh, thank you, Rodney. But if I'm going back, you'd have to have a home birth. Yeah.
Well, I'd be up for it with you.
Not just woman involved. I used to get the dads to catch their babies.
Oh, I've done that. Oh, my God, I caught my little girl. I never forget it. You know, look at her now, and I can cry just thinking of it. And she's such a big girl, and I caught her. I was the first human to touch her. On the outside. And you have such love.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. You're on RCR, Real Talk with Rodney Hyde, and that was a heartbreaking talk and a real talk. And we're indebted to Judy Martin Hendry for sharing with us something that you sort of don't want to talk about. But for the sake of the kids, we have to. I think too, for the sake of some of these young mums and for the midwives who are put into this invidious position. Send us a text, 2057, email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.